Welcome to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson of Management Mentors. Whether you need mentoring training, consulting, or a better way to manage your existing mentoring program, Management Mentors is here to help. Now, here are Rainey and Dave.
Good morning. I'm Rainey Petrin, President and Founder of Management Mentors. My colleague and co-host Dave Carson is missing in action right now, but we hope he'll join us shortly. And welcome to this week's show, which is basically technology and mentoring. And what we want to talk about today is whether technology has any purpose or has any place in mentoring. We'll be joined by our guest, Nancy Settle Murphy, President and Owner of Guided Insights, on this particular issue. And actually, as we begin, since we're waiting for Dave, I'm actually going to introduce Nancy right now. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rainey. It's great to be here.
Nancy, I've indicated that you are President and Owner of Guided Insights, and actually, you're a virtual meeting facilitator and team-building coach. But tell us a little bit about your company, what you do.
Thanks. Sure. I have run Guided Insights, which is a facilitation, training, and communications consulting firm for about 14 years, mostly working from my home office in Boxborough, Massachusetts. I originally came from the world of high tech, where I was a facilitator and a business consultant there. And until about 5 or 6 years ago, most of my facilitation and training assignments required face-to-face work with clients, whether it's in a classroom or a conference room. But over the last several years, most of my clients, who tend to be large global companies, have asked me to design and facilitate working sessions for people who work remotely most of the time, and typically they work across time zones and cultures.
Ah, very, very good. And before we move on to the rest of the show, would you give people your contact information for our guests in case they'd like to reach you after the show?
Sure. My website is www.guidedinsights.com, all one word. And my phone number, it's in Eastern U.S., is 978-263-2545. And my email is nancy@guidedinsights.com.
That's great. Thank you, Nancy. And I also want to let our audience know that those of you who receive our newsletter, which went out yesterday, we featured Nancy in her article, Mentoring from Afar, Go the Distance to Grow Top Talent. So everybody can also get a copy of that, I presume, by also going to your website?
Yes, that's the article that you and I wrote together a couple months ago, and that is on my website now under Monthly E-Zine.
Great, great. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about technology and mentoring. And do you think that technology has any place in mentoring from your perspective, Nancy?
Well, I definitely do. And it really depends on the relationship and the circumstances. But first, I just want to define what I mean, what I think of with technology. And it would really be anything that supplants or replaces or augments face-to-face. So that could be phone, it could be email, using some kind of web tool, instant messaging, could be the use of some shared portal that's asynchronous where people drop off information. And, of course, it would, as I said at the beginning, it would include telephone. So, yes, I think technology has a huge place in mentoring, particularly when people don't have an opportunity to ever meet face-to-face.
Yeah, I think that's really a really important point. I think, at least for me, when I talk to clients about technology, often people think of technology as kind of, all right, this is what we're going to use to do all of our relationships. And I think people sometimes focus on the technology as opposed to why they want to use the technology, what's its purpose. And, you know, mentoring is about a relationship. And you can't replace a relationship with technology. You can only really assist a relationship with technology.
Well, exactly. You said it really well. I see technology as an enabler of fostering and building on relationships and never replacement for one-on-one, whether that one-on-one is face-to-face or phone. So technology is a way to seal the relationship, maintain it, nurturing it, but doesn't replace that one-to-one interaction.
Well, tell us a little bit more, if you will, because of the article that you've written, the issue of how you see technology long-distance relations primarily, because that is sort of where your interest is at this point. Is that correct?
That's right, right. Well, yeah, there are a few things. With mentoring, I see that as a very intimate, meaningful, intensive relationship. It is not, for example, the kind of maybe superficial conversation one might have, let's say, amongst a project team. And so because of that, I think it's really important to consider a whole range of technology options reflecting the preferences of the individuals as well as the comfort level, the ease of use, the accessibility, and the appropriateness of certain technology options.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that any one of the, you know, when you look at some of the technology you talked about, and I think it was really important for you to say, let's define what we mean by technology. You talked about the phone, you talked about, you know, video conferencing and so forth. Is there one that you think is better than the other?
Well, I think a minimum is telephone, because mm-hmm. people in a mentoring relationship, it's essential to have a frequent, same time, synchronous, one-on-one conversation. And if you can't meet face-to-face, and in my world, my clients, well, that's so rare to ever meet face-to-face, then phone would be the minimum and the most essential tool.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that even if you don't have a long-distance relationship, how you use the phone can have an impact. I mean, I think with long-distance relationships, the phone becomes probably the primary form of communication for most people because they probably can't afford or don't have access to video conferencing. And it's used a little differently there than it is when you are face-to-face. But even when you're face-to-face, how you use the phone, how you make phone calls, and what you do in that phone call becomes critical in how you manage or facilitate the creation of the relationship.
Well, absolutely, and that's a really good point, and that leads me to think about ground rules, and let's just say with the phone, starting with the phone.
Yep.
Especially for mentoring relationship where conversations really need to be private, uninhibited, highly confidential, I think it's critical for mentor-mentoree right up front to establish some ground rules. For example, we will always take and make calls in a private setting where there's no one can hear us. And just one other I want to add, a very critical one is about multitasking. When people are on the phone, it is easy in a conversation sometimes to get waylaid by the sound of your in-mail or your inbox making a noise or that email that you were just about to send off before the call.
Yeah, that's such an important point that I think we're so used to multitasking. And, you know, how many times, perhaps, if you've been on the phone with someone and they're talking to you, you can hear them typing on their computer, you know, and it's obvious that they're obviously not paying close attention to you. So I think it's so important to bring that up because we often will do the, you know, we kind of intuitively know that our conversation ought to be private and that we should create that space. But we sometimes forget that, yeah, that's just part of it, as you're saying. Be aware of how you multitask, because it's not appropriate within the context of this relationship.
Right, and I would even go so far as to say, and this is what I'm doing now, is I'm taking this call, at least 15 feet away from my computer,
mm-hmm.
so that I am not tempted, not that I would be being on the radio, but I'm not tempted to even look at my PC.
Yeah.
And something, too, just to add to that, a lot of us are really hardwired to multitask. We don't
yeah.
know what to do with ourselves if we're not multitasking. So another option is to actually use some sort of web meeting tool as a way to focus the conversation. So, for example, you might have an agenda that you both have agreed to for a particular mentoring session, and that's what people are looking at. But my preference would always be to print that out, get away from the computer, and sit away from the computer for the whole call.
So you can focus exactly on what you're trying to talk about in that context. You know, what strikes me is as you were speaking is that, you know, and I tell this to people when I train them on mentoring, is be careful of what I call collusion among the pairs. And it seems to me that if you and I are in a relationship, and let's say we both are used to multitasking, we might think nothing of, you know, while we're talking to someone, you'll say, oh, I just got an email, hold on a second, let me do that. And the other person may not even think anything about it. They may not even be offended by it. They may think, oh, yeah, well, that's what we do. So we need to be careful that both partners make sure they agree to the same ground rule, which is none of us should be multi- multitasking. Otherwise, we can slip into that behavior because we're so used to it and think it's proper etiquette, which it is not in any relationship.
Well, and that's a really good point because many mentors are senior. In fact, I'd say most are senior to the mentoree. And I think many managers are used to that multitasking, feel they're so indispensable that they have to just respond to that IM they just got in the moment.
Yep.
And then oftentimes the mentoree might think, well, you know, he or she is a senior manager, they've got a lot on their plate, so I really don't want to say anything. And so this dynamic might be created where the senior person feels permission to do that, yet the junior person might be burning inside or not very happy about it, but won't dare say anything.
Yeah, I think that's so true because I want to use the word that I normally use, which is there is an intimidating factor when you're in a mentoring relationship, you know, because as you say, most often the mentor is more senior and there's a reluctance on the part of mentorees at times to be able to be upfront about what's really going on. And they'll often simply follow the behavior of the mentor because they don't want to offend or concerned about how the mentor might respond to maybe, a gentle chiding of saying, geez, can we kind of, make sure that we don't multitask, if you will, during our sessions together. That's the reason why when we train people, and Dave and I have spoken about this in previous shows, that training is so important. And in that training, we talk about setting ground rules from the very beginning. You know?
Right. And related to this, is setting realistic expectations.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
About a lot of things. What are we going to cover on the call? What do we each want out of the relationship? And when you're working virtually, you have so few opportunities to really discuss this or get it right. You don't have that chance hallway conversation.
Yeah.
Let's pop in the meeting room and discuss this or that. So those expectations really have to be explicit right up front. And I think one of the chief areas where the relationships break down is in the relative accessibility and availability of the mentor.
Yes, that's really, I think, a critical point. You bring up a really, really important one that I think people often forget or don't think about, which is the value and the importance of the mentor being available. And, you know, on that note, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this interesting conversation with Nancy Settle-Murphy from Guided Insights.